Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Reading books, essential. Today in the studio, I have the directors of the Estuary Public Library, the Seaside Public Library, the Warrenton Community Library, and we are going to be talking about some exciting programs, ways to help our children learn to read in Clatsop County through a program called ROCC, or ROC, which means Reading Outreach to Clatsop County, or Cards for Kids. And there's an awful lot that I have just learned by speaking with these very talented women before we came on the air, and I will introduce them to you now. Today, we have Jane Tucker. She is the director of the Estuary Public Library. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Well, very happy that you're in the studio. We also have Esther Moberg. Esther is the director of the Seaside Public Library. Hi, Esther.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Nettie Kalog. Nettie is the director of the Warrenton Community Library. Hi, Nettie.
Hello.
Before we begin talking about these programs to help our children learn to read and how important they are, Jane, please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been a librarian since I was about 15 years old. I worked first in my town library. And the thing I think I wanted people to know about me today is about my mom, Winnie. And back, this will date me, for those of you who know how old I already am. We had one car, and we lived in a rural setting, so we did not have access to a library. We had to be driven to a library. So my mother got the car on Saturday, and on Saturday she had to do all of her errands, and I mean every last one of them. It was the one day a week she had the one car. And she would take me to the library amidst everything else she had to do. So those of you who are listening today, you know that you can go to Fred Meyer on Sunday, but that wasn't true back then. There were blue laws in Massachusetts. Everything was closed on Sunday, literally. One day of her life to get every single errand of the week done. So think about that for a minute. And she took me to the library, and she never rushed me. So that's the most important basis that I have for becoming a reader and becoming a librarian.
Thank you, Jane. That was very beautiful. What a good story. Esther, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up here in Astoria, and I actually moved away to Minnesota for quite a few years to be a librarian back there at a small college and also run a bookstore. And then I decided I couldn't handle the winters anymore back there. So I moved back again, and fortunately I was able to be down in Central Oregon for a while. And then I actually came back here about 3 years ago to be director in the Seaside Library. And I have to say, part of my experience as a librarian, I actually started as a library page in the Astoria Public Library with Bruce Burney, and I have really fond memories of him teaching me exactly down to the micrometer how to, you know, straighten those books and do things just right. So he gave me a really great foundation for starting out. So.
All right. So you've been in Seaside for 3 years.
Almost 3 years.
And
yes.
Jane has been at Astoria Public Library for?
This is my 16th year.
So pretty phenomenal. All right. And Nettie, please tell us about yourself.
Well, I love to read. That's probably defines me more than anything else. And my mom loved to read, so I come by it naturally. She used to read 8 or 10 books at once, and she never used bookmarks. She always had clothespins sticking out of all the books everywhere. So I do that too, but I don't use clothespins. I use bookmarks. But I love to read. I am not a librarian per se, because I don't have a degree. I'm termed a site manager, but it's the best job I ever had.
And how long have you been there, Nettie?
6 years.
6 years. All right, excellent. And you have the tiniest of libraries. So
tiny is a very good word for it.
Yes, because you're a community library as opposed to a public library. And what's the difference there?
Well, it was started back in the 90s by a group of people, and it wasn't part of the city for a while. And now that it is part of the city, it's grown quite a bit. We've got 3,800 cards out, I think, and the population is only 5,000 some people in Warrenton. So,
thank you all. And Jane, because you are the director of the Estuary Public Library, and I think we should at least give the folks an update on what is happening with the Estuary Public Library.
Yes, we, as those of your listeners know, we are in the midst of a building project. And so we are looking at several options. An RFQ was approved by the council, and it has been awarded, contract has been awarded to the firm of Walker Macy, who will come and do an exploration of locating a library and affordable housing in a mixed-use private-public partnership on Heritage Square. So that will be undergoing in October and November, and look for that. There'll be opportunities for the public input on that. So.
Excellent. Okay, good. All right, so why do we need reading outreach to Clatsop County Cards for Kids? And why is it so important for our young children to learn to read? We live in an era of, you know, iPhones, cell phones, iPads. Okay, let's talk about that. I know you know about some of the latest research.
We do. All three of us actually are pretty immersed in this research. And it began with the development of the MRI. Once they could see what the brain was doing, they were able to make inroads into how we learn and all sorts of other things about our brain that are being found out every single day. It's a brand new part of research. So what they learned is that we begin learning to read the day we are born. That's when we begin learning to read, and it's through hearing language. And you mentioned before that some people even read to their children in the womb, and that is as valid. They learn to read in the womb as well. If they hear language, and we hope that every child will hear at least 30 million words by the time they're three, because that way they know what words are and they begin to assimilate them.
Mm-hmm. Brain study is really fascinating. As you're a child and your brain is starting to develop, those neuron connectors between your brain are really, as each vocabulary word is spoken, they're making those connectors, which if you do not have enough vocabulary by the time you're 3 or 5 years old, a lot of those neuron processes have not been formed. So often by the time you're in a kindergarten and you have not gotten enough vocabulary, you're behind the curve as far as your learning process. And children's brains are still forming all the way up through 18, and of course as you're older, but really that key segment is before you're 8 years old, because that's when most of the neuron processes are forming. So we really strongly believe in the early literacy, which is ages 0 to 3 or 5 years old, getting children immersed in, you know, tactile touching books, even hearing books, just that whole process, because that's really what's that baseline for children learning how to read and engage in reading. And it's interesting because in our community, there's assumption, just as there is across the U.S., that libraries are free to everybody, and it's true. However, libraries have to be supported on some level. And for us, in our towns, it's the city is the tax base that our cities support our libraries. And so for children outside of our city limits, they are not being reached by our cities because they are not supporting that tax base. So when they come in, we originally had to charge a fee. So about 5 years ago, Jane Tucker and Rita, who was the current library director at Seaside, realized there was this need for children outside our city limits who could not afford library cards. And they were looking at this gap for these children, how to get books in their hands, how to get them engaged in reading when there is a barrier of economics where their parents could not afford to get them a card. So they really came up with this program with three key areas: a library card in the hands of every child who wanted one, ages 0 to 19. We also do courier service between the schools and library to facilitate returns to the libraries for children that are out in the rural areas. And then we also have a countywide summer reading program every year to help support, because there is a gap. If children do not read during the summers, they can regress an entire grade level if they're not reading during that time.
That is very compelling information. And Jane actually pointed out, too, that if you think about it, Clatsop County, I think what you said, 1,085 miles.
Right.
And there are three libraries, and they are just in the cities. And yes. So here's all this population not being served.
Yeah. And that's why we have school partners. Jewel School and Napa School are countywide summer reading partners of the Warrenton School. Is also a countywide summer reading partner. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that this shows up is when you're in the classroom, if you go out to promote summer reading, which we used to do, especially in the Astoria School District, you'd have children who were in the city limits and children outside. So when you would say, hey, get this library card, half the kids would be sitting there unable to do that. And so that makes a difference when they're in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Because the teacher has to teach to the lowest level in classroom, and you want the level of everyone in the classroom raised up so that we ease the job of teachers.
Mm-hmm. And so you said actually, Jane, earlier that this is a pilot program in a way, right? This
It is. There are five counties in Oregon that do not have tax-supported library services, and the state library came to those established libraries within those counties 6 years ago and said, can you find a way that's creative, scalable, sustainable, and replicable to get these children access to a library? Mm-hmm. And so we did, and that's what Rita and I worked on, was to come up with this program. And that initially they were to run for 3 years. We were successful enough, and yet still needing to change cultures, so we asked for two additional years, and it's almost unprecedented, but we were given two additional years of federal funding to do that. Mm-hmm. So now our program is replicable, scalable, creative.
And now you need the community to step in with resources, with financial aid, and with also, we're going to talk about that in the second half of the program, making a little library. Right. I want to continue to explore, though, the fact of why this is such a huge, important investment from our community and from businesses, because you need to raise a certain amount of money in order to continue this program. Right. And so the research is showing that, you know, by the time children are in third grade, I mean, why don't you mention that and why, how important it is to hold books, to touch books, and that has nothing to do with technology.
So this is Esther, and I'm actually part of the Clatsop Kinder Ready P3 Alignment Hub, which works with the teachers in the county as well as other educators to say they've discovered through a lot of different studies that by the time you've reached third grade, a lot of your academia and your knowledge, you've already set in place where you're going to go in life pretty much. And so before third grade, it's really crucial to looking at where you are, how we can reach children and get them to their full capacity. Sadly, it's considered a privilege if you have books in your home and if you also have a parent that reads to you at night for bedtime stories. That's considered a privilege. And for many people in our county, that doesn't happen for many children. So we don't want that to be a privilege anymore. We want every child to have many, many books. Unfortunately, if their only access is their school library, often it's only during the school year and they can check out only 1 to 2 books a week. And that's their maximum limit. And so thinking of that, and we want to reduce those barriers to no longer say this is a privilege, but that reading and access to reading and knowledge is crucial, and that every child should have that access regardless of where they live in the county.
Well, these are our future leaders. These are, you know, and we talked a little bit about the fact that there is still illiteracy in America, which is so sad, and that children develop these coping skills, and even adults who can't read, and that reading, isn't that the ultimate, you know, that's what determines.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one way to think of it is, it's a generalization, but up until third grade, children are learning to read. And after third grade, they're reading to learn. And that's why the P3 alignment is so crucial. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see that in the news, that the third grade reading level are so important. It's foundational. This is the absolute foundation for how you are going to live the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And more and more research is showing that a child born into poverty who isn't given a sound basis in reading is going to stay there. Mm-hmm. So these are our future employees. These are people who are going to be employed in Clatsop County in 15 or 20 years. And I think we all want them to be the best they can be and to reach their highest potential.
Yes, absolutely. And running for office and all the things that people do. And also you mentioned something that it's research is now saying, you know, don't give your child any kind of technological device before they're two or something like that, because they need to be able to touch books, hold books, and your brain functions differently when you are not looking at a screen, when you're working with a book.
Mm-hmm. This is true, and I think Esther might have a background in that. She does have more children's background than I have, but they are proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that using electronic devices is changing our adult brains. Mm-hmm. So it can tell you what it does to a young child's brain. But there are many organizations that say no screen until age two. And then up until age two, it should be tactile.
Mm-hmm. And part of that issue is when you put a screen in front of a child versus the parent's interaction, again, what they're developing in their brain is completely different. Actually, some parts of the brain are not developing properly because there is not that human interaction. So that is so crucial. And with a book, the parent is interacting with the child, where with the screen time, often like an iPad, if it's reading the story to them, the screen is doing all the work and the parent is not interacting with the child. So, you know, if a parent has to work all day and they put their child in front of a TV to entertain them, it's found that that child really is lacking then also social development skills. They really don't know how to interact outside of their own little world, and often they very much go inside of themselves versus that interaction and building vocabulary, which is key for that emotional and the stability needed to be a healthy, developing child.
Yes, for mental and health. And I didn't think about the social connections with reading. It's true. But to imagine the world, to create those neurons in the brain, reading is just essential. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking about reading and about a special program, which we're going to get into more detail about in the second half of the program, which is ROC, or Reading Outreach for Clatsop County, to Clatsop County for Cards for Kids, to ensure that all of our children have access to books. And there's also a great opportunity for those of you who want to do a project. You can make a little library, and we're going to talk about that as well. So in the studio today, I have Jane Tucker. She is the director of the Astoria Public Library. I have Esther Moberg. She is the director of the Seaside Public Library. And also Nettie Kalog, who is with the Warrenton Community Library. And Nettie, I'm sorry, we didn't have a chance to hear much from you. Do you want to weigh in on any of this right now?
Not particularly, but I'm a little shy with a microphone in front of my face, which would surprise many people who know me. Reading is the most important thing ever, as far as I'm concerned, because lots of children have aptitudes in mathematics or science or whatever, but if you can't read the textbook, you're not going to have a chance to go anywhere with it.
Yes.
You're dead in the water right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So reading is just the most important thing. That's why I hound all the children at our library that they need to read. Read, read, read.
Yes, and a lot of children love reading. How do you though, if someone says, "Oh, I'm not so interested," how do you help bring a child to love reading?
Bribery.
she does have chocolate.
Yes, I
okay.
do.
Yeah, chocolate can work.
I do. I bribe them. A few years back, when we did our summer reading program, there was a little girl whose older brother and sister liked to read, and they joined the program. She didn't want to really do it. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, she didn't care. She didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But we have a treasure chest in the summer, so when you finish reading a book, you get to get into that treasure chest. And that really piqued her interest. So she started doing that because she got a reward every time she read. By the end of the summer, she was reading on her own, and now she's reading giant books.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
That was just a few years ago. It was my best success story so far.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing that, Nitty. So how does the community get involved? Because right now you are in a fundraising campaign. You need to get funds to continue to be able to provide these books for these children. And there are ways that people can do it, which is obviously people can give money, and you're the Seaside Public Library is the fiscal agent.
The Friends of the Seaside Library is the fiscal agent, and this program is, while all three of our libraries do support this with in-kind, this program actually reaches to children outside of our city limits and tax base, so we do need that support from the community to actually keep the program running. We do have a GoFundMe campaign right now that people can directly give to, or they can even send checks directly to the either of the library's care of the Friends of the Seaside Library, the library's ROC program, so those get to the right place. And the Friends of the Library is a 501c3, so it is a nonprofit for a tax deduction. So we're doing our best with the GoFundMe campaign, but we're also going to be doing a fundraiser, the Little Free Libraries, and I don't know if you want me to mention that now.
Yes, now we're going to just plunge into, and if you are handy with a hammer and some nails and some few pieces of wood, and even if you're not handy, I bet you could learn how to do this. So there are ways for you to engage and help literacy in our county, and that is, again, through a donation to a 501c3, or Make a Little Library. What is that?
Yeah, so right now, really popular are these something called a Little Free Library. I describe them as something like an oversized birdhouse that's full of books. And people put them out in their yard or in their community, and they put books in them, and it's a free exchange where people take a book and are expected to put a book back. And so then people can get a book, take a, you know, put one back, and then the whole community can use it. So out in our rural areas in the county where there isn't a library, this is a great opportunity to share more books where there are not as many. So we came up with this idea where people could build their own, whether they're a business or a private person, to build their own little free library. You can get a little creative with the style and decorations, and then donate it to us to auction off as a fundraiser. So we're having people build these now through the end of December and then drop them off at the Seaside Public Library, and we do have at each of the libraries directions on the dimensions, what's needed. Obviously, since we are a very rainy area, it's going to need a roof. It's going to need to be enclosed so the books don't get damaged in the winter time. But if you can build that and then drop it off by the end of December at the Seaside Library, and then in January or February we will be auctioning those off, and we'll also have People's Choice Award with the top three that win the People's Choice Awards will be placed in the community. And we'll be putting the books in those and making sure those are taken care of.
What a fun project, because I can see, I mean, I'm calling out to all the contractors and building companies in this area in Clatsop County to enter this contest, Make a Little Library, which helps our children in Clatsop County. Actually, it's youth ages 0 to 19.
Yes.
Right. Zero. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And also for those people, like I'm thinking of a business, and what a great project for them, for a business to do, to say, hey, here are the specs, because I have some in my hands right here that you gave me, Jane. Mm-hmm. And I could take this to my work and say, let's get together and let's make this a project. This is a fun thing for us to do.
And excellent publicity.
And excellent publicity.
They can put a little plaque on it that says that they made it. And then when it's out in the community, people
absolutely.
Can see that it was made by these contractors.
So how do people, can they find out about this online? Let's give people information on how they can make a little library.
So we don't have this on our website yet. We're currently working on a website for the ROC program, but it's in process right now. But right now we just have it in paper form at the libraries, but I will try and get that website live. So if you call the libraries, we will try and get that link up and running so people can access it digitally if they want. But the easiest way is just to stop by the libraries. We have a full packet to hand out that gives you all the details on dimensions and where to turn it in, how to build it. And there's also some ideas of what it might look like.
Okay. So to get the specs for making a little library, and these are like what the dimensions are not very big.
They hold
maybe how many books would you say they hold?
It's a 12 by 22. It's probably about 5 to 8 books at the most. It's not a lot.
But it's such a wonderful experience. I was visiting some friends in Boise and walking around the neighborhood, and here was a little free little library. And it was so exciting to stumble on that and look at the books and see what people had put in there. And then to take one of the books and then figure out, what do I have that I can put back? I mean, that's just a marvelous gift to find as you're walking around in the community.
Yeah, and we really appreciate, we already have some great supporters of this program. Lums Automotive and the Clatsop County have actually been very strong supporters already of our program for the last 5 years. But we do need more community support. We do need more supporters to really make this program keep going on.
Well, right, because now your funds that you've been, your grants are out, and now you want to talk a little bit about that?
This is the sustainable part now. One of the best things that we were able to do by going for 5 years with the grant was that we were able to take the children who were of the right age from P through grade 3, and we're really, really proud of that. But we want that to continue. We want that to be available to all children in Clatsop County in perpetuity now. We want to establish an endowment and give to that so that people can see to it that their children out in Clatsop County, all Clatsop County children, have the access to libraries and the access to reading and to books. So it's very important to us now to do the sustainable part. You can send that donation directly to any of the libraries, care of the Friends of the Seaside Library. You can go to GoFundMe. That's kind of fun. And it's fun for us to watch GoFundMe go up and down. Well, it doesn't go down, but it goes up. And then this little libraries project we think is going to be pretty popular.
And the GoFundMe is libraries. It's /libraries ROCC if anyone's trying to find that.
So if you want to go to the GoFundMe website right now and give some money to this incredibly worthwhile project because they need it, because you have a time limit right now because you're trying to raise funds so you can get some matching funds. And so you can go to www.gofundme.com/libraries ROCC.
And the important thing about that is that the Libraries Rock program has an outreach specialist who goes out to the schools. It's a contracted employee of the Rock, and we need to be able to pay her salary.
So yes.
That's the big deal right
That's
now.
Important. Do you need, Terry just asked, do you need donations of books for the small libraries?
That's a great question. At this point, we don't. We actually get quite a few donations to the libraries directly, and we have enough that we could probably set up all the little free libraries right now with enough books. Really, what we're looking for is that support of money, because when we're writing these grants and seeking funding in different sources, oftentimes the question is, how is the community supporting this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the last 5 years, we've given cards to an average of 500 children a year through this program. So many children have been reached. So, you know, if you or somebody you know has been reached by this program and you've seen the reward of it, we're just asking, would you consider giving back as well?
And Janie, you had a figure about...
I do, because some of you may be curious as to how many books did those children read over those 5 years. So I'll give you 1 second to do Price is Right and check it out in your head. What do you think? Okay, here's the number. Compare it to yours. 79,527 items were circulated to Rock readers in 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's 79,527. So you can compare that on your...
That shows the need. Yeah. It shows that this program is working. It shows does. This is successful and that it must be maintained.
Yes.
That's what it shows. So we only have a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you would like to say, Nettie, that we maybe didn't cover? What would you like to say to the listening audience in these final few moments?
Go to the library, get a book, and read it.
Okay. Right, exactly. And then realize that is...
And then go back and get another one.
Yes, and while you realize that is not a privilege everyone can enjoy.
That's
and that's why we want it to not be a privilege. Everyone should be able to have access to books, and especially our children whose brains are forming. We need to be able to give those.
Well, there's a program out at the... it's called the Wishing Tree that they do this every year. Barb Roberts does. And we have a lot of donations at the library. So I go out there every year and put books with all the things that the kids actually wanted, because they're getting books whether they want them or not for Christmas.
Right. Well, so they need them. That's
I
right.
go out there and pass
and
them
are you
going
to be at the gift fair? You know, the gift fair.
We do intend to be at the
good.
Gift fair.
Excellent.
Yes.
That'll be good. Okay. Thank you so much, Nettie. And any last thing that you'd like to say? Pastor.
I would just say, you know, children, this is vital for children in our county. There is a desperate need for children to have this access. We haven't advertised it so much in the past because we have been funded, but we're saying now that it's time for community support to be there for us, because this program is essential for the children in our community to have success in life.
Thank you so much, Esther. And Jane?
Well, having been with it from the beginning and having struggled through those first couple of years where we thought this will never work, we're going to be utter failures at this, to now see the success of this and to see the numbers and to see how wonderful this program has been for so many families, we really want to see this continue. We really want this to become a fixture in Clatsop County, that there will be library services in some way, in some form, through a foundation, a combination of city and county support, that there will be reading for children forever.
Thank you, Jane. Yes, and you can make that happen. You can make that happen by going to GoFundMe and supporting the Rock program. You can make that happen by going into your libraries and picking up the specs and making a little library, which you need those by the end of the year, right?
Yes, correct. By December 31st, we need them all dropped off
at
the Seaside Library.
And there's no limit. People can make as many as they wish?
I guess so.
Absolutely. All right. We have these. Let's have them everywhere. We have 1,079 square miles or whatever, right? We've got a very big space here to cover for children. So, okay. So you can stop by your library and learn more information about this and help our children learn to read, think, and be, you know, the citizens of this world that we all need now. Thank you so much for your very important work. I know books have changed my life and continue to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Oh, and one last little thing, and that is that book sales are up, and technology and the reader things are going down.
E-books
right?
are down.
E-books are down.
Print books sales are up.
Yes. There's something important. We got to hold those books. We need the books. Okay. And until next week, find a few moments for yourself today. Take a deep breath. We're all rushing sometimes and we forget about that. And a deep breath will signal relaxation and good things for our bodies. And then focus on the things that are working well in your life. There will always be those things that don't work well. However, there are the things that we can be so grateful for and appreciative for. And also give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. That's all we can do, the best we can at the time. And for being here now, in this moment, in the amazing planet we call Earth.